two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Veterans are who we are, what we talk about, who we fight for. This podcast sheds light on real issues facing our veterans. It informs the uninformed, it celebrates their triumphs, and provides hope to those fighting a silent battle. This is Upholding Valor. Welcome, I'm Jill Atwood, Director of Communications for the VA Salt Lake City Healthcare System and your host for Upholding Valor. And today we're going to chat up an extraordinary volunteer as part of our voluntary service program here at the hospital. These volunteers keep us running each day and, more to the point, help us care for veterans. We are always looking for more volunteers. Their contributions are just immeasurable. So I want to introduce a couple special people here with me today. First, I have Dave Wee-Wee, and he is a Vietnam veteran, a veteran of the Army. He is also a volunteer. He works up at our information desk, and he's a Red Coat ambassador, and I know he's a lot of other things that he'll tell us. And then I also have Christopher Scott, who is our voluntary service manager, and Chris is also an Army veteran and a dear friend of mine. So thank you so much for being here, both of you. And Dave, I want to talk with you a little bit because you have been volunteering since February of 2012. I know you took a little break, but you're still with us. What keeps you coming back? Why do you volunteer?
Well, a number of reasons. Mainly, I first started coming here for my medical back in 2009, and the hospital is absolutely superior as far as medical support goes for me.
I was going to say, how are we treating you? That's the first question.
Absolutely superior.
Good.
And that's on a serious note. After I'd been coming up here for my medical, I started thinking, there's got to be some way I can start giving back, because these guys up here at the VA, they're number one. Medical, doctors, nurses, everybody involved.
I love it. I love to hear that.
So I came up here in February 2012, and initially, for a long time, they had me driving the inside golf cart down in the tunnels, taking vets to the various buildings that I could have access to.
Taking those corners fast. I'm just
kidding. Oh, no, not me. I always stop at every intersection. And then as time went on, I also was trained as an outside shuttle driver.
Okay.
Driving the vets to the various buildings on campus. And I did that for, a heck of a long time.
And please explain to me why that is so important. The size of our campus can be confusing. Like, tell me what you're seeing in the vets when they come in. And I mean, you're just a sight for sore eyes getting them places.
Well, my personal experience, you're a fish out of water. Because
right.
We are so spread out going to the various audiology, dental, mental health issue clinics.
Right.
And that. So sometimes they'll have their vehicle, but they don't know how to get from point A to point B, even though we show them on the map.
Right.
So we just either take them by the golf cart or put them on the shuttle bus, and we take them right to the doorstep. When they're done, we get a phone call, we go pick them up, bring them back to their destination.
How appreciative are they?
Extremely. They really are. And I can't tell you how many times during a four-hour shift that a vet or the spouse or the kids
right.
will come by and just say, hey, thanks.
So what are you doing now? You're up at the information desk. So tell me about your current gig as a volunteer.
I'm up there on Wednesday, Thursday mornings. Mm-hmm. I usually come in around 6:30, get everything set up, and then get the ball rolling, basically. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, someone needs assistance. How do they get the blood draw? How do they get same-day surgery? On and on and on, and I'll get them pointed in the right direction. There are times you can see the anxiety build up, so you got to think out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And numerous times I'll just jump out of my seat, go around the desk, grab them by the arm, say, I'm going to take you there. Not all the way, but at least get them in the direction.
And that's really what it's all about, that veteran experience. Chris, I'm going to bring you in because we mentioned that Dave is a Red Coat ambassador. So what does that mean exactly? It's probably what he just said. He jumps out from behind the thing and walks him to his appointment. But I'm sure there's more to it.
It is. Our Red Coat ambassadors really are... they're the caretakers of our veterans. They really do a great job in showing veterans where to go, how to get there, giving out the information that's crucial, and pointing them in the directions we need them to go. They're also instrumental in getting folks engaged in our transport office and helping veterans move about that may be wheelchair bound, or those that come into the ER that maybe need to get moved. One way or the other, they're helpful for getting veterans in and out of the ER. They're helpful for providing food. We have a lot of people that donate food to our veterans. Here, we'd love to have that, but our Red Coat ambassadors are instrumental, especially now, right now, with getting them bags of food that when they have that kind of insecurity. So,
which is especially huge right now with COVID. We have a lot of veterans who are falling on hard times.
Right, right. And so Red Coat ambassadors really are the heart of our volunteers and do a great job. But we have tons of volunteers in the hospital as well.
And I know you're relatively new to this position. We couldn't ask for a better voluntary service manager. Talk to me a little bit about what this position means to you in your heart, because I know you're a veteran and you like to give back. Yes, I'm going to get all touchy-feely with you. And then just big picture voluntary service, like what's the mission? What's the purpose? What do you need more of?
So for me, I come from a background of working at this facility for nearly 8 years. I worked for VA for almost 14 now. And since the Fisher House opened here on campus, my wife and I every Friday of the month, we would go volunteer at the Fisher House.
Right.
Cooking dinners for them, for veterans and families. And then having families come visit with me throughout the rest of the month and try to help them navigate the VA system and get the services that they need. So we did. It was wonderful. And right up until COVID, we were cooking and look forward to coming back. So my heart really has always been in volunteering. And as you know, I'm a huge outreach fan of helping veterans in all kinds of capacities.
Understand our system, navigate the system, mm-hmm. get what they have coming to them. Yep.
So when this position became available, I was thrilled to put in for the position and have a shot at doing something where I feel like every single day I'm able to help veterans. But I'm really excited because our staff do amazing work every day, and voluntary service not only has volunteers that work within it, but we are also responsible for taking all the donations for the hospital.
Sure.
Whatever that is, we have wonderful, wonderful stakeholders in the community, big businesses, and all the way down to little Girl Scouts. We had a couple Girl Scouts in.
They were so cute.
Just recently that did bath bombs for, made money on bath bombs and donated that to giving us basketballs for our inpatients to play basketball with for something to do, an activity. Two little girls made a huge difference.
Yeah. Community partnerships are key, big and small, down to the two.
Big and small.
Girl
we love
Scouts.
Them all.
Yeah, they stole my heart for sure.
We love our volunteers. We have them come from all walks of life. Veterans that are in their 70s and 80s. We have some that are over 80 now, I think.
How many do we have here in the hospital?
We have 179 right now.
And we need more, though, right?
We need lots more. At one time, we had roughly 500.
I thought so. But we've had a rough year and a half.
Yeah. So we love to have our volunteers come in. They keep us busy. We love every minute of it. So
what kinds of, I mean, we know what Dave's doing, and we're going to get back to Dave in just a second, but what kinds of opportunities are available? What types of things can people volunteer for?
We have positions for drivers. We have that drive veterans that go out into the community, pick them up and bring them to our hospital. We have, I have two wonderful phlebotomists that work over in our lab that draw blood. We'd love to have them come in that are able to do that.
So they can use actually their expertise
if
they're retired. Yeah,
absolutely.
That makes good sense.
We have some that come in and volunteer in the nursing room. We have folks volunteer in mental health. We have the Hope Squad, which I'm proud to say we're starting here at VA. Hope Squad is an opportunity for volunteers to reach out to veterans in mental health that may need some, just touch base with you and say, hi, how are you today? And what are you doing? We have the Compassionate Contact Corps. We have those are the same veterans that might reach out to your great grandfather or grandfather or some other veteran in need of a phone call once a week just to help them out. So we love those volunteers as well.
Dave, what's the best part of your day when you're here?
I would have to say the interaction with other veterans, meaning the communication. We carry on conversations. Maybe we go away from their clinic appointments and we just start talking about the past or what we're doing now. And for me, as a combat vet, I can interact with veterans a lot more than I can with a civilian.
Sure.
Because we're on the same page. And I thoroughly enjoyed talking to them. I also get a big bang out of when someone's having problems with travel or trying to get they're out of town.
Sure.
To get a place to stay and able to walk them through, at least get them in the right direction, so they can take care of some anxiety issues in that aspect there. And, it's just a lot of fun. I enjoy it. That's all there is to it.
Well, and the longer you're here, you get that institutional knowledge. You learn more and more, and then you can help veterans who don't know, help them navigate the system. So you're just a giant, like, warm handoff when they walk in.
Well, and like Chris was stating a moment ago, we really need volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in my area where I'm at, even though everything is operating smoothly,
sure,
we can always use more volunteers. And you don't have to be a veteran. You can be a civilian, mm-hmm. come up here to volunteer for doggone sure. And Chris's staff will, you know, implement that and get things taken care of.
And things are a little stressful in the medical center and really just in any healthcare operation right now because of COVID. So we do have a lot going on in our lobby that we wouldn't normally have. We have the screeners there making sure everyone's safe when they come in. And so it can be a little bit overwhelming. Chris, if there's folks listening and they want to volunteer, but what if they're worried about COVID? We're not out of the woods yet. But we've got our precautions in place still.
You know, we have great precautions in place. We do offer all the shots that they would need. If they're interested in getting the COVID shot, we're happy to provide that to our volunteers. They don't have to be veterans. They just want to volunteer. That's great. We will also do flu shots with our volunteers. Volunteers that work over 4 hours, we give them a meal ticket. It's a little harder right now to navigate that with floods we've had on campus, of course.
So we're getting it taken
care of. We're getting it there. So, but that said, we give them a meal. We make sure that we're doing that to take care of them. We do some awards as they volunteer for more often at our hospital. They reach awards. We do some award ceremonies. In years down the road, we'll do a much better job at trying to do barbecues and get-togethers where we're able to really enjoy our volunteers a little bit more than we have. And I'm looking forward to that time as we move forward to doing that.
Yeah, it's a good vibe. It's a family.
It is. I would tell you a quick story about...
Sure.
I got approached a while ago about this little... about somebody that wanted to do volunteer. And she's 14 years old.
Oh, that's cute.
And her mom and I talked about it. And she is, as long as we had people that were there on site with us. But her... we were trying to figure out what she could do for the hospital. At 14, that's pretty hard. And her mom says, well, she plays excellent violin.
Oh, wow.
And she's a prodigy. She sat out at the front of our hospital Mondays and Fridays, right up until she starts school this next week, but has played for 2 hours at the front of our hospital for veterans entering
cool.
and exiting. And I will tell you that she makes that violin sing. It's amazing. But those are volunteers we could also use as anybody that is really gifted in those arenas. We'd love to have them come on campus as well.
Okay. So how do they find you? What do they do?
Well, the easiest way today, we would have you call our telephone number. That number is 801-582-1565. And I can be reached at extension 1075. Or my assistant, Mykia, can be reached at extension 2018.
Okay. One more time. Give us those numbers.
That number is 801-582-1565, extension 1075, or extension 2018.
And Chris, I also want to talk to you about donations. I know your office kind of leads that front. So if someone is interested in maybe donating monetarily or in kind, how do they do that? And what kinds of things are you looking for?
So the monetary donations can be sent to the hospital. They can be sent to the address here. They can also go online to the va.gov website and go to the volunteers and then look under there for the e-donations. We'd love to have it that way. That makes it easy. The best thing that when they do monetary donations, they tell us where they want it to be.
Right.
So maybe they want it to go specifically to a food pantry or to a homeless folks and homeless or just to all veterans. Or maybe the women's program. Our women's program is wonderful. And we spend money there.
Okay.
So.
What kind, is there something specific you need right now that you're low on?
We're low on right now. I would tell you underwear and socks for veterans. We like that we have homeless veterans that may need those things. We have t-shirts and sweats. We can always use those. We have an emergency room.
Right.
And oftentimes, even there, we might cut some clothes off a veteran. Mm-hmm. Or the veteran comes in to our hospital. They don't have anything but the clothes on their back. We can give them clothes. We have a clothing closet. We take donations with the clothing closet. We take food donations, specifically those kind of foods that are not going to expire, a little bit more shelf stable.
Mm-hmm.
We love to have food donations. But the big thing right now, too, is our homeless team is about to start doing some real big stand downs to help our homeless that were... I don't want to say they were left out, but they really, COVID played a harder role with them. And so we're looking for some home moving kits
mm-hmm.
that we can help them move off the street and into an apartment,
like
that
an
were
apartment.
A subsidized apartment. So
yeah, like a starter kit.
Yeah, home moving kits, pots, pans, shower lining, blankets, sheets, towels, and put that in a basket and bring it, and we'd love that.
And you would take it. Do they come to Building 8?
We
like
would take
where,
it.
Where would they go?
Building 8, we're on the second floor, or they can bring them to the front of the hospital, to our information desk, and they'll
Dave.
Get them to us. And Dave comes back in. So, and his team gets them to us, brings them down to us, and we put them in our storage area, and we get them to the homeless team. So that's a great thing right now we could use.
Okay. And I want to remind folks of the address because you mentioned if they want a mail-in donation. I don't want to discourage that because some folks are old school. So we're at 500 Foothill Drive, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84148. And you'd want to put it to Attention Voluntary Services, correct?
Correct.
So the VA Salt Lake City Healthcare System, 500 Foothill Drive, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84148, Attention Voluntary Services. Thanks, Chris.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. Dave, thank you so much for all you do.
My pleasure.
Don't stop volunteering. I'll find you. Okay?
I'm not going anywhere.
We appreciate you both so much. So let Chris know if you'd like to come up and see us and volunteer. We need you. And thanks for joining us today for Upholding Valor. Stay safe, take care of each other, and be kind. This is Jill Atwood. I'm a VA employee, Army veteran, and veteran of Desert Storm, and this is personal to me. There is no greater mission than to serve and fight for those who fought for us. Thanks for listening, and thanks for caring. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe or rate us, or better yet, tell a vet and tell a friend to tune in by texting veterans to 57500 or go to kslpodcast.com/veterans. VA is honored to serve you. We'll talk to you next time.